Blog Talk okay. Radio.
Oh, here we go.
Hello, and welcome to the free food and medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast. This is our prequel for our freefoodandmedicine.org podcast. So after we're done with this 30-minute recording, if you want to hear the rest of the story, go to freefoodandmedicine.org and click on podcast, and you'll be able to listen to the full version of this recording. Thank you very much, and here we go.
So,
yeah, as I was saying just before we got that to work, elveneers. Those decorative plants that so many people grow in their gardens, they put the corms, they're called corms, I guess, into the earth in spring after the last frost, and they get the huge giant leaves, and everybody grows them in the wrong place, and yet they still get wonderful results, all right? And the correct place to grow those is at the water's edge, all right? They love it. If, you know, the more nutrients and the more water they get, the bigger the leaves will get, and the bigger the corms will get. And you can eat those corms. Basically treat them like a potato, but you have to cook them. Okay, you can eat a raw potato, but you shouldn't eat a raw elephant ear root, we'll call it. All right? Now, elephant ear is only one member of a number of plants called taro. Elephant ear is a type of taro. And taro is, wow. My phone is arguing with me over how to type. Anyway. Taro, T-A-R-O, is a plant that's, you know, in the tropics and subtropics, it's a staple food. It's probably more important than potato in those areas, all right? And it basically takes the place of potato. But it has advantages. It's higher in fiber, I guess it's sweeter, but it can be used in lots of different foods. So, you know, so basically their root staples would be sweet potatoes, cassavas, yams, which is different than a sweet potato. And I named potatoes already, potatoes. These taro roots, corms, as they call them, okay? Let's see. I'm hoping I can find the website that gave all the nutrients that are in them, because that was I actually found that very interesting. So it is a starchy food, like a potato. Potatoes are high in iron, and these guys, instead, they're high in this guy's talking about how to grow them for decorative purposes. He points out that they are edible. Okay, here's the thing, the reason why you don't want to eat them raw. It has calcium oxalate in it, which is a skin irritant, all right? So you want to cook them first. I guess that breaks down the calcium oxalate, all right? So, but there's lots of different ones. And you can grow them for decoration purposes, but you can also propagate them. And one of the permaculture sites I was looking at actually was talking about, you know, they say they're zone 8 to zone 11. And he's saying by carefully making sure you mulch them real good and stuff like that, you might be able to get them to grow as far up as zone 6 without digging them out of the ground. All right, I'd say that's pushing it, but it's an intriguing idea. Because they're actually tasty. The one that gave all the nutrients in it, they also gave some recipes for it. One of the things is they made fries out of it. And taro root tends to have purple spots in it. So you'd end up with this French fry that was slightly sweet and had lots of purple spots in it. So it'd be an interesting variation. And while I'm talking to you, I'm sitting here scanning through stuff, trying to find. Yeah, some of these elephant ears, the individual leaves can get as much as 6 foot across. So imagine what the root would be like on that. You know, if you could cultivate that, you know, all you need is a couple of roots and oh, wait a minute. I may have found a relative. I don't know if it is edible, though. They have the same flower as Jack in the Pulpit. And it looks like this website says that that's actually a member of the family. Now, Jack in the Pulpit I've seen grow as far north as Wisconsin. So it might be interesting to see. I'd have to do some research. You need to do some research also. It might be interesting to see if that plant's edible. And that'd be a plant that you could grow in the temperate zone. So that's related. Oh, I may have found it. Don't know, though, because it's a long article. Oh, my. No, I don't think this one has the nutritional deal. And they're not showing recipes. They're just showing different variations on the elephant ear leaf, which is fascinating, but we're looking for free food and medicine here. And I'm not seeing the information I wanted to pass on. I'm seeing lots of advice on how to grow it in our area. And it's fairly simple. You got to take it in before the first frost, and you got to put it out, you know, after the last frost. So, and I strongly suggest that if you got a pond, you go plant at the pond's edge. So. Ah, there we go. Here's one that's talking about cooking it. So that might just give us a clue. Are you still there, Kano? I hope I'm being recorded. talks about height, size, variations, where you can get them. Says you can eat the leaves, says you should cook them, does not give any nutritional stuff on it. Darn it. Sorry, folks. Let's see now. Maybe you should do the smart thing and put in the word nutritional. There we go. Seven surprising benefits of taro root. Taro root is a, okay, I'm reading this from healthline.com. And the article was written by Erica Jolson. I guess she's an MSRDN CLT. I'm not sure what CLT is. She wrote this article about 9 months ago, November 9th of 2018. Okay, taro root is a starchy root vegetable originally cultivated in Asia, but now enjoyed around the world. It has a brown outer skin and white flesh with purple specks throughout. When cooked, it is mildly sweet taste and a texture similar to potato. Taro root is a great source of fiber and other nutrients and offers a variety of potential health benefits, including improved blood sugar management, gut and heart health. Here are seven benefits of taro root. I'm sure there's more. Okay, for whatever reason, it's not letting me see the rest. Apparently, it's still loading. Oh, my. Yep. Sorry, folks. Let me try reloading the page. And oh, there we go. There we go. That's what I wanted. Okay. Number one, rich in fiber and other important nutrients. One cup, 132 grams of cooked taro has 187 calories, mostly from carbs, and fewer than 1 gram each of protein and fat. Well, okay, so you can't have everything. I'd want more protein, but it's a plant. Okay. It also contains the following: fiber, 6.7 grams, magnesium, 30% of the daily value. Okay. Vitamin B6, 22% of the daily recommended value. Vitamin E, 19%, potassium, 18%, copper. Copper is very important in organic form. You need that for pain relief and to reduce your graying hair. That's 13%. Vitamin C, 11%. Phosphorus, 10%. Magnesium, 10%. So if you eat 10 cups of taro a day, that'd be a lot. You'd get 100% of your magnesium needs. And you might gain a few pounds. Anyway, thus taro root has good amounts of various nutrients that people often don't get enough of, such as fiber and potassium, magnesium, and vitamin C and E. So the summary of that is taro root is a good source of fiber and many vitamins and minerals that the standard American diet frequently lacks. Okay. Number two. May help control blood sugar. Okay, although taro root is a starchy vegetable, it contains two types of carbohydrates that are beneficial for blood sugar. Blood sugar management, fiber and resistant starch. I'm not sure what resistant starch is. They've got it highlighted in blue, so I assume there's a link you can follow. All right. Fiber is a carbohydrate that humans can't digest. Since it's not absorbed, it has no impact on blood sugar levels. It also helps slow down the digestion and absorption of other carbs, preventing large blood sugar spikes after meals. Studies have found that high fiber diets contain up to 42 grams per day. Containing up to 42 grams a day can reduce blood sugar levels by roughly 10 milligrams per deciliter. I'm not sure I'm reading that right. It's mg per dl. In people with type 2 diabetes, taro also contains a special type of starch known as resistant starch that humans cannot digest and thus does not raise blood sugar levels. Roughly 12% of starch in cooked taro root is resistant starch, making it one of the better sources of this nutrient. Yeah, if you can't digest it, I wouldn't exactly call it a nutrient, but there you go. It's helpful, apparently. This combination of resistant starch and fiber makes taro root a good carb option, especially for people with diabetes. Summary. Taro root contains fiber and resistant starch, which both slow digestion and reduce blood sugar spikes after meal. Okay, 3, may reduce your risk of heart disease. The fiber and resistant starch in taro root may also help reduce your risk of heart disease. Okay, I'm going to make a side note here. People are concerned about their cholesterol levels, all right? And so they try to reduce how much cholesterol they take in. And quite frankly, my research shows me it doesn't matter how much cholesterol you eat. If you reduce your cholesterol intake to zero, your body would still produce cholesterol. And one of the reasons it produces cholesterol is to form plaques in your bloodstream, which act as scabs to your sick and unhealthy blood vessels, all right? And if you eat a high-fiber diet, you know, lots of shredded wheat, okay? They've shown that fiber, you know, they're saying that this plant has lots of fiber in it. They show that fiber intake cleans out your gut, allows you to absorb more nutrients and thus repair your blood vessels, both your arteries and your veins. All right. And when you repair those, then your body stops producing cholesterol to fill in the gaps. Because, you know, the blood vessels are healed and they no longer have holes in them and they don't need scabs anymore. And so they don't need the cholesterol. And so your body stops producing it. Okay, so back to the beginning of the section. Okay, the fiber and resistant starch in taro root may also help reduce your risk of heart disease. Substantial research has found that people who eat more fiber tend to have lower rates of heart disease. One study found that every additional 10 grams of fiber consumed per day, the risk of dying of heart disease decreased by 17%. Wow. I say wow because I eat a lot of fibrous stuff out there. Some other time I'll tell you about that. I want to get through this before my time's up. This is believed to be due in part to the fiber's cholesterol-lowering effect. But research is ongoing. Taro root contains more than 6 grams of fiber per cup. Okay. So if you rate 7 cups of taro, that'd be your daily allowance. That'd be your 42 grams that you need to improve your health. Okay. That's still a lot of taro. So you might want to find your fiber elsewhere. But it's a good start. Okay. More than twice the amount found in comparable 138-gram serving of potatoes, making it an excellent source of fiber. Taro root also provides resistant starch, which lowers cholesterol and has been linked to a reduced risk of heart disease. So summary, taro root is high in fiber and resistant starch, which helps lower cholesterol and reduce your risk of heart disease. Okay, so the fourth thing, may offer anti-cancer properties. Taro root contains plant-based compounds called polyphenols, which have various health benefits, including the potential to reduce cancer risk. The main polyphenol found in taro root is quercetin. That's Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. And I apologize if I murdered the pronunciation on it, but hopefully you can look that up. I'll spell it one more time, and I'll try to do it slower. Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, which also exists in large amounts in onions, apples, and tea. All right. And if I got time, and I don't think I will, I'll tell you about tea. All right. Test tube and animal studies have found that quercetin can trigger cancer cell death and slow the growth of several types of cancer. It is also a powerful antioxidant that protects your body from excessive free radical damage that has been linked to cancer. One test tube study found that taro extract was able to stop the spread of some types of breast and prostate cancer cells, but no human research has been conducted. While early studies are promising, more research is needed to better understand the anti-cancer properties of taro. So summary, taro root contains polyphenols and antioxidants that may combat cancer growth and protect your body from oxidative stress. Yet more research in this area is needed. Do, 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 do. 5. I don't think I'm going to make it. I've got 5 more minutes to read the next 3. All right. May help you lose weight. Taro root is a good source of fiber containing 6.7 grams per cup. Research has found that people who eat more fiber tend to have lower body weight and less body fat. This may be because fiber slows stomach emptying, which keeps you fuller longer and reduces the number of calories you eat throughout the day. Over time, this may lead to weight loss. Well, yeah. The resistant starch in taro may have similar effects. One study found that men who took supplements containing 24 grams of resistant starch before meals consumed roughly 6% fewer calories and had lower insulin level after the meal compared to the control group. Animal studies have shown that rats fed diets high in resistant starch had less total body fat and belly fat. It's hypothesized that this is partially due to the resistant starch increase in fat burning in the body, but further research is needed. Summary. Due to the high fiber and resistant starch content, taro root may increase feelings of fullness, reducing overall calorie intake and increase fat burning. potentially leading to weight loss and reduced body fat. 6, good for your gut. Since taro root contains plenty of fiber and resistant starch, it may be beneficial to gut health. Your body does not digest and absorb fiber and resistant starch, so they remain in your intestines. When they reach your colon, they become food for the microbes in your gut and promote the growth of good bacteria. When your gut bacteria ferments these fibers, they create short-chain fatty acids that nourish the cells that line your intestines and keep them healthy and strong. Woohoo! One study in pigs found that diets rich in resistant starch improve the colon health by boosting short-chain fatty acid production and decreasing the damage to colon cells. Interestingly, human studies have found that people with inflammatory intestinal disorders, such as ulcerative colitis, tend to have lower levels of short-chain fatty acids in their guts. Some research suggests that consuming these fiber and resistant starch can boost these levels and help protect against inflammatory bowel and increase the colon cancer. Can help protect against inflammatory bowel disease and colon cancer. There we go. Summary, the fiber and resistant starch in taro root is fermented by gut bacteria and form short-chain fatty acid and may protect against colon cancer and inflammatory bowel disease. Okay, number 7. I'm not going to be able to finish it in time. I've got less than a minute. But I will finish it out on the other side. So those who listen to the continued part that Kana will upload later can catch the rest of this. So number 7, versatile and easy to add to your diet. Taro root is starchy texture, has a starchy texture and mild, slightly sweet taste, similar to sweet potato, and can be used in both sweet and savory dishes. All right, folks, I've only got 10 seconds, so I'm going to tell you, you can find our podcasts at you can find us at daviddavidandavid.com. You can find us at manicmondaypodcasts.com. And we'll be here every week and to talk about another plant and such. So those still listening, I will continue this on the other side. And I think Kano may have fallen asleep on me, so he's not going to shut it off. But it should shut itself off automatically on its own. So, so it's good in both sweet and savory dishes. Some popular ways to enjoy this include taro chips. Thinly slice taro and bake or fry into chips. Hawaiian poi. Steam and mash the taro into a purple-hued puree. Taro tea. Blend taro and use taro powder in boba tea for a beautiful purple drink. Taro buns. Bake sweetened taro paste inside buttery pastry dough for a dessert. Taro cakes. Mix cooked taro with seasoning and pan fry until crispy. In soups and stews, cut taro into chunks and use in brothy dishes. It's important to note that taro root should only be eaten cooked. Raw taro contains proteases and oxalates that can cause a stinging or burning sensation in your mouth. Cooking deactivates these compounds. Summary. Taro root is a smooth, starchy texture, has a smooth, starchy texture and mildly sweet taste. It can be cooked and enjoyed in both sweet and savory dishes. You should not eat taro root, should not eat raw taro root, as it contains compounds that may cause stinging and burning sensations in your mouth. The bottom line, taro root is a starchy root vegetable with a mildly sweet taste. It is a great source of various nutrients that many people don't get enough of, including fiber, potassium, magnesium, and vitamin C and vitamin E. Taro is also an excellent source of fiber and resistant starch, which account for many of the health benefits, such as improved heart health, blood sugar levels, body weight, and gut health. Taro also contains a variety of antioxidants and polyphenols and protects against free radical damage and potential cancer. Always cook the root before eating it to neutralize the compounds that can cause unpleasant stinging sensations in the mouth. When cooked, taro is a nutritious addition to both sweet and savory meals. All righty. One more thing I want to look up before I give up on taro. Let's see now. There's a vegetable I was introduced to called ubi. I want to see if I can find it. The reason I'm looking this up, I'm not sure how to spell it. Nope. That's not it. One more guess. Okay. I'm not finding it. That's unfortunate. I'm thinking that ubi is basically taro with all it's all purple, as opposed to being white with purple spots. And I'm not finding it. Ah, there we go. Frequently asked questions, are ubi and taro different? Let's see what this person has to say. It's on the internet. It's got to be true, right? So according to this person on, wow, I can't even pronounce the name of this website. Ninungscafe.com. Anyway. The short and simple answer is no, they are not the same. The elaborate answer. Ubi is known as purple yam. Is a tuberous root vegetable. In a variety, it varies in color between deep purple and even white. We use ubi in a lot of sweets like cake, jams, cookies, ice creams, and now pancakes, of course. All right, wow, it's beautiful. I'd like to grow ubi. I'll have to look into getting hold of some. Taro is also a root vegetable known as gabi in the Philippines. Taro also varies in color, commonly white, but also can be slightly gray or lavender. The portions you see used most is the corm of the vegetables, which is the stem of the plant that is underground. Filipinos use the leaves and the corms of this vegetable to make many different dishes. It has useful savory applications, but other cultures also use it in sweet applications since it is very versatile. We actually sell taro smoothies here at the shop. Okay. So, yeah, they're saying they use the leaf as well. And it produces a lot of leaf. So, you know, you might consider using the leaf as well when you cook it. Make sure you cook it because it still contains those chemicals that are irritating to eat. Okay. So ubi is not taro. All right. So, that tease about tea. When you buy your Lipton tea or your green teas and stuff like that, a friend of mine recently pointed out that they often have seeds in them. And so if you open up your tea bags and you look around, you might find some seeds, and you can grow those seeds. Probably the darker the tea you get, the better. All right. Now, I could be wrong about this, but it's my understanding that green tea and black tea and white tea all come from the same plant. But let's see what Google says. What? Let's see now. Let's see now. Green and black tea come from the same shrub called camellia. Camellia sinensis. All right, that's a scientific name. All right. In both cases, harvesters pluck the uppermost buds and leaves from the plant. Okay. Well, all right, so we won't go into the harvesting and such, but basically they're the same. All right. And it's my understanding that it's what time of the year and such you harvest what, where, and when. All right. So green tea is very good for you, but your black tea comes from the same plant. So I would suggest if you're looking for seeds, I'd go for the more mature black tea, so you might get more mature seeds. and then you might be able to raise yourself your own tea bush in your greenhouse if you live up north like I do. Granted, I'm not very far north. I live in Missouri, in the southern part of Missouri. So I'm zone 7A, I believe, as far as the hardiness zone goes. But, you know, I'm sure you might get away with growing it in your greenhouse up in Wisconsin, especially if you have a heater. So, all right. Since my co-host is dead asleep, and I'm probably just going to ramble. I'm going to hang up, and then I'm going to call Kano and wake him up so he can hang up too. All right. Talk to you later, and see you next week. ManicMoneyPodcast.com.
To stop conference recording, press 1.